This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hi, Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, and welcome to the 618th episode of Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, in keeping with my goal to showcase our young owners and their rise to ownership, you're going to love this story as my guest, Travis Guy, comes into the family business via the hospitality industry, specifically Disney. Now, do you think he may have learned a lot about how to embrace a customer from Disney? Hey, this is a fun and transparent interview with Travis, and he says he sees the flaws we have as an industry, and yet he tells it straight about being paid for our worth and value. Travis Guy hails from Yorba Linda Auto Service in Placentia, California, along with his brother Tim and dad Danny. They make up the family business. He gives you a refreshing take on the state of our industry from a young owner's perspective, and that's what we wanted. We can learn a few things from Travis, for sure. Our aftermarket content is possible through the sponsorship of Shopware and Apex. You know, I just heard that Apex 2021, again, will have the best and the brightest trainers and another great schedule of technical and management training. Now, this is specifically for you, the shop owner and technicians. Now, stay tuned here for more details. And for now, make sure Apex 2021 is on your calendar. Write these dates down, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Hope to see you there. Hey, while your customers, while keeping your distance, even while staying 6 feet apart, Shopware's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. Completely digital workflow allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Request a demo on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, never forget that every episode is archived on remarkableresults.biz, so you can use them as a collection of knowledge and wisdom. Bury yourself in the audio and listen with your internal or external network and discuss what you learned. Hey, we are so proud to be one of the foremost instruments in creating the important topics and the trends that are making waves in our industry. Hey, the key talking points for this episode with Travis Guy are at remarkableresults.biz/E618. Hey, we're here to help you grow to be a better and stronger leader. Hey, warm welcome to Travis Guy from Yorba Linda Auto Service. Love it. At Placentia, California.
Yes. So you got a little bit of German and a little bit of Spanish.
Travis, part of a family business, equal partners with his brother, dad in the business. He's a millennial. Can't wait to ask you some questions about that. But you, when we just before we turned on the microphone, Travis said, "We found our technician." It was like Christmas, right?
Basically, yeah, it was a month late, but hey, better late than never.
So tell me, how did it work out?
You know, it's been working out well. And we found him from Craigslist. You know, we've put a lot of money like running ads with Indeed. We haven't really used ZipRecruiter. We mainly used Indeed, but we kept getting the same applications just coming through and through. And they just really weren't that good. Really, that's all there is to it. And when you keep seeing the same ones over and over again. And so we just threw one out there on Craigslist because we're just trying to cover all the avenues. And within like a week or two, we got a call from him.
So besides Craigslist, where else were you?
Indeed, Craigslist, and Facebook.
And you did get some feedback from Facebook and Indeed, but they just weren't for you.
Exactly. Like, you know, on Facebook, we got some where the guys were like electrical engineers or doing something else and trying to pivot into the automotive industry, which is awesome. It's just the only thing is we're not looking for a lube tech. We're looking for like a master tech. We're looking for someone that a high level technician is who we were looking for.
So you're breathing slightly easier now.
Yes. But just as that breathing became easier, breathing did get heavier again because we found out that one of our younger technicians is moving on to other opportunities in a couple weeks.
Deja vu.
Exactly. But, you know, I get it. We were kind of his first job. And so I understand that he's wanting to kind of move on to other things. He's 21, 22 right now. And when I was his age, I never stayed at a job longer than 2 to 3 years. So.
Wow. Too bad he doesn't really see the opportunities that he has, not only with your business, but in the entire industry. I mean, there's just so much ahead of him.
Well, and he is staying in the industry. He's going to another shop, a semi-local shop that if I wasn't here at my family's business, that's the shop I'd want to work at. So.
Oh, okay. So what would you have to do to your company to have that kind of stature that they have?
A lot. No, they've been in business for over 40 years. Actually, I think they've been in business for close to 50 years. They do automotive and body work on site. They have their own mentorship program, kind of like a career path program that they do. The owner, he's actually instituting programs because their shop runs so well. He has a program that he's working on to help build technicians for the future. So when I found out that that's where he was going, it's just like, you know, I get it.
What I find also interesting about Travis and his brother, they both worked in the hospitality business before joining the family business.
So when I was 15, my neighbor said, hey, you know, she said that the hotel she worked at was hiring for bellman and like front door people. And she asked if I wanted a job. And I was like, sure. And then when I was 18, I started as a valet. And then I also, my buddy said, hey, I'm going to a job fair at Disneyland. Do you want to come with me? I said, sure. Why not? I don't have anything better to do.
Now, let me stop you for a moment. Dad had the business at the time, right?
Correct.
And he never really said, hey, guys, this business is yours. You got to come in it. He never forced you, right?
Correct. Yeah, no, he never forced us. Growing up, he told us, especially after he bought the business, he said, hey, if you guys want to get into this industry, I'm going to teach you everything I know and I'll be more than happy to. But understand that this is a very hard business and it can be very tough on your body as well. And he may or may not have said, like alluded to, like, you know, I'd be plenty happy with you being in a different industry.
He never forced you to say, you know, like the Italian godfather would say, what do you mean you're not joining the family business?
Exactly. but now, like, granted, when I said, hey, can I borrow some money? Then he'd force me into the shop.
Ah, I see.
I've only been working here full time for about 6.5 years, but I mean, I've been working in the shop. I was working in the shop all throughout high school, cleaning it and coming in with my friends and painting it. Yes.
So Disney, I really respect their focus on the customer. That was it, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, even it's been, let me see, I worked there from 04 to 07. So it's been well over 10 years since I worked there. And I'm still brainwashed to answer the phone a certain way and to treat customers a certain way. And sometimes even catch myself pointing with my whole hand. Because at Disney, if Disneyland, Disney World, they'll never point with the finger. It's either two fingers or the entire hand.
That's a great tip for anyone to take in any part of life. Thank you for that. What other great tidbit can you share with us?
You know, one thing that I am religious about, and it's actually a huge pet peeve of mine, is if the phone isn't answered within three rings. I will be in the back, and I yell at technicians when they run through the shop, but I will briskly walk through the shop to make sure I get to that phone by the third ring.
You're conditioned. I went to a Disney Institute in Orlando years ago, and one of the things that I took away was one of their customer creeds was look them in the eye and smile. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be fascinating in how you can build strong relationships with people, customers, friends, anyone you just meet, you know, on the street.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in my personal life and in my professional life, I smile. You fake it till you make it kind of thing. You know, I don't always feel like smiling, but if you put that smile on it, eventually it gets easier. It quickly gets easier to be a natural smile, but it makes a huge amount of difference. Even on the phone, even the phone calls that we get all the time, I've always got a smile on because it shows. And even, you know, wearing masks when customers comes in, it's in the eyes. You know, you can tell when someone is still smiling, even if they have a mask on.
You sure can. I was with some friends, I think it was last week, and here I am guffawing and laughing so hard. I mean, although I was making a lot of noise, I realized that my eyes were so wide, so lit up. My eyebrows were so high that it was difficult. They could picture what my mouth looked like. I know.
Exactly.
It's almost like there's a lot of great takeaways from COVID, and you know, that is, we can see that you're smiling through your eyes. So if you're doing that, even on a phone call, and you're smiling, people can hear that. Travis, as a millennial, you're 35 years old. Do you respect or treat your millennial customers in a special way at all?
Not any different than I treat everyone else. granted, there might, I might deal with them a little differently, you know, cause, but you deal with everyone differently, but you know, it doesn't matter who you are when you come through here. It doesn't matter if you have a brand new car. It doesn't matter if it looks like you might be in the middle of a move or possibly living in your car. You know, I'm always going to treat everyone with the same respect. Maybe I talk a little bit faster with millennials because they're used to it a little bit more. I know when I'm talking with my older customers, I have to actively slow down.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Travis talks about handling price shoppers. Hey, Carm here, and I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered during the recent virtual APEX experience. Now, the great news is that show organizers for APEX 2021 are already hard at work to again assemble the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. Watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations. Also, training on how to be an effective leader, engine performance, diagnostic strategies, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business. Now, those are just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure APEX 2021 is on your calendar November 2nd through the 4th. In Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2021 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more APEX 2021 training and registration information. Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matnett from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, "I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers." End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. Okay, so you're really showing me the gap in generations and what you know about them. Of course, millennials, if they say communicate with me through text and you pick up the phone and call them, they won't be happy. And but you know that part, right?
Yeah, exactly. And since we got our new Shopware system with texting, all of our, it's funny how our millennial customers, they pick it up right away. Understand how to use it. My older customers, some Gen Xers could go both ways, and then older than them, I think that's boomers.
That's the boomers.
Yeah, they get it. I do usually have to walk them through it a little bit, say, you know, just do this, scroll up to get to go through the legal stuff, but they tend to get it. It's my retired customers, my customers that are the generation before the boomers. They're the ones that when I say, oh, we've gone digital, they give me a look and I say, but we can still print up your invoice.
We've gone digital. It's almost like, please get away from me. We're never coming here again. That's called the silent generation, just ahead of the baby boomers. And you're absolutely right. I'm old enough to know many silent generationals. You know, my dad, my mother-in-law, they're all gone now. Yet I would assume that if they were in their 90s right now, they would want nothing to do with digital anything.
I've also learned to ask them, does your phone connect to the internet?
Ah, smart.
Yeah, because, you know, we send them a text and then they click on the link to go to the internet. And yeah, so first, can your phone receive text? Yes. Well, just about everyone's phone can receive text. So then I realized, you know, and a lot of older people like my grandma has a flip phone. She doesn't want anything more than that because she rarely uses it. You know, you got to mold things to based off of who you're talking to.
And I love watching some of the commercials that are on TV. They show this smartphone, if you will. And it has, you know, very simple, like there's five buttons on it and you can't get in much trouble. And I'm realizing, wow, that would have been perfect for my grandma or my mother-in-law. So yeah, I totally get it. Great. So you and your brother are equal partners in the business. Now, does that mean dad has transferred some ownership to you or is he completely out?
No, he's not completely out. Me, my brother, my mom, and my dad all have ownership in the shop. We also have a sister. She's the youngest. She's a teacher. And she, I can't remember if she has any ownership or not, but if she does, it's very little compared to what we have, just because it's more of a, we want to make sure the shop isn't just for us, it's for our family. You know, we want to make sure that our family's taken care of. If anything was to happen to my dad, my mom, you know, is my mom taken care of?
When you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, that was big for you.
Oh, yeah. Family's always going to be there for you. I am very fortunate. Me, my brother, my sister are very fortunate. Our parents, you know, they've been married for, this is their first marriage. You know, I realized when I was younger at a church camp, when I was saying something, one of my friends was like, oh, has your, you know, is this your parents' second marriage or something? I'm like, no, this is their first. You know, we're like 8, 9 years old kind of thing. They're like, oh my gosh, your parents haven't been divorced?
Why does that surprise people?
And this was in the 90s. And it's tough to say, but you know, when I think about it, like half of my friends, their parents were divorced. We're fortunate because, yeah, they've stayed together. They've provided for us in an amazing way. And we, not until we were older, we really realized it. But more importantly, they reinforced that, the family aspect. We grew up in Oregon. We were born in California, but we grew up in Oregon and the rest of our family was in California. So for the first 13 years of my life, I saw my grandparents and my cousins and all that twice a year. Summer and Christmas. We would always spend the summer in California at their grandparents' house. And then sometimes we'd come down here for Christmas. Other times they would come up to visit us. But then we moved back here in 2000 because my grandparents' health was starting to decline. My grandpa had Alzheimer's, so it was starting to get a little bit worse. So we wanted to be closer to them. From there, we lived with my grandparents the first year we were here. So coming back, it was much, any kind of holiday, any kind of birthday, all the family would get together on my mom and my dad's side. And even still today, you know, my dad's parents, they've passed almost 10 years ago, but we still, before this year, we were still getting together with my mom's side of the family. When my grandparents' health really started to decline, I had actually just been laid off from a Las Vegas hotel. And so I moved back here and moved in with my grandparents to start taking care of them. And that was awesome because that really let me get to know my grandma and grandpa, or more so my grandma, because my grandpa, he had late stage dementia at that point. But it really allowed me to get to know my grandma, which was someone I didn't really get to know before. And it just helped strengthen that family bond. And then my brother moved in a little after because it was just getting too much for one person.
Love the stories of family. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you and your brother, I love to talk about roles in a family business, especially, you know, dad, two brothers. Do you have a specific role? Does your brother have a specific role? And what role is dad doing in the family business?
Dad is the overseer. He does the behind the scenes stuff, like the bookkeeping stuff. And even though we're kind of moving that more to, I'm going to be starting to learn that stuff so that way he can take more steps back. But for the last couple of years, aside from the last couple months, because it's been hard, but for the last few years, you know, me and my brother have been running the day-to-day operations at the shop. There's days where my dad doesn't even need to come in, because he's able to stay at home and listen to you, Carm. He's able to work on the business. Most days when he is here, he leaves between 2 and 3 o'clock. And then me and Tim is my brother. We run the day-to-day operations. I handle, I hate to put it like this, but like the face. I'm the one that's up front. You know, people see me. I handle probably 80 to 90% of the cars that come in.
But Tim doesn't want to be the face, right?
Not really. You know, he's okay. We've tried to have him up there before. I have a bit more of an outgoing personality.
You put your strengths in front of you. You agree to what they are, and then you find the role that works, right?
Exactly, yes. So while I do that and handle a lot of the writing up and the selling and then just the customer interaction, Tim will catch the overflow, but also he is amazing with our parts. We have a very good parts return system that he keeps track of. So, you know, he's out there searching for the cores, knocking on the technician's boxes, like, hey, where's this core? You know, he's making sure if it's a slow time, I'm going to go run and do this stuff. He does that like bookkeeping stuff, I guess. And then he also kind of is a foreman in the back. like helping direct things. Me and him will talk and coordinate with what work needs to be done and all that, but he'll kind of help get them moving. He's almost obsessive about keeping the shop clean.
I'm glad you talked about this, because I think it's important in family businesses for everyone who's listening out there, and there's a lot of family businesses out there, is to understand the mechanics of how you guys do things. ASCCA, Great Association in California. I know you're active in that. How much has association membership helped you?
It's helped me a lot. You know, while I might not be picking the brains of everyone there as much as I should be, it's really gotten me involved in the industry. It's shown me that there's more to the automotive repair industry than just our shop. It's also shown me that if it wasn't for trade associations like ASCCA that are out there lobbying for the industry, especially living in California, automotive would be much more difficult than it already is. Just doing business in general. There's plenty of times where we've defeated taxes that they want to institute. Then there's the right to the repair information that they was one of the big ones back in the day. But really for me with ASCCA, there's that camaraderie that comes with it that's helped me become more comfortable in my position in the shop and in the association. With people, there's great people involved, Rocky Kamanian, John Epstein, Dave Kusa. They're three of the kind of older guys. Those are our three last presidents as well.
No, don't say they're the older guys. They're the senior members of the organization.
Okay. I like that. The senior members. Part of my shtick, because we've started making some videos to help with bringing people into ASCCA. Part of my shtick is, hey, guess what? You don't need gray hair to be an ASCCA. Just look at me.
I love it. I'm on this kick this year in 2021, Travis, to interview as many young people as I possibly can in the industry. You are youth. We're going to turn this industry over to you guys one day. And I'm glad you guys are listening to the wisdom of so many of our great leaders in the industry. And the other thing is they're willing to give. They want people to be successful. They want to share the School of Hard Knocks. And if there's one dollar you made because someone told you the yin and not yang on something, then you're better for it. You were very outspoken about what you called self-inflicted wounds industry-wide. And you were talking about charging for testing and presenting ourselves more like doctors than mechanics. Bring up some of your passion here.
Even customers that we've seen coming that have been here, that have been coming to us for a while, they might not come as regular anymore. But and this is our self-inflicted wounds from the previous service advisor. You mean that testing isn't included, like rolled into the price? Well, no, it's not. It hasn't been since I started working here over 6 years ago, and you guys have been here since then, and we've had this conversation before. Obviously, I think that last part in my head. I just know, it's separate from the testing like it has been. Well, we deserve to get paid for what we do, and we deserve to get paid for our knowledge. And there's a reason why you have these apprentice technicians that are saying, you know what? I'm going to go over here and learn to do HVAC work as an apprentice, make $60,000, $70,000 a year. You know, because, hey, I can make that as a, I can eventually get there as a technician. We just don't pay enough. There are some shops that are making that change, but that's part of those self-inflicted wounds is if we're not getting paid for what we do, then we can't pay our technicians what they deserve.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. You're right.
We tried to be the change. You know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually do it. So our technician that we have, he's not here right now for other reasons, non-COVID related. He came on and he's a six-figure technician, but he's worth it. Like our labor rate, when he came on, we raised it $50 overnight, Carm. And you know who complained? The people that always complain. Those are the only ones that complained. If they don't know, they don't know. You're just telling them that this is how much it is. So we wanted to be that change And so we took the steps to lead.
Thank you for that powerful message. And I didn't respond to it. And I wanted to have a little silence for a moment because I wanted our listener to let that sink in. One of the requests that I get a lot from the industry, and that is shop owners that either message me through Facebook or, you know, just send me an email from the website. Can you send me some episodes on labor rates and charging enough? And so thank you for saying that. We do undervalue ourselves way too much. And it's unfortunate there's people out there that are chasing to the bottom. Well, why go out to Yorba Linda Auto Service at $150 an hour when, and again, I don't know what your rate is, but, and you know, you're coming here for it's 89. Look at how much money I'm going to save you. It's just not the thing that our brotherhood should be doing.
No, and that's why, you know, I am very upfront about when I get a price shopper, because we all get them, I let them know, you know, we're not the cheapest. We don't want to be the cheapest, and we're never going to be the cheapest. We're the best value. You know, we believe we're one of three shops in the immediate area that are the best in this area. There's us, which is Yorba Linda Auto Service, Tatsu at Tokyo Automotive, which I know you know Tatsu. And then I don't know if you've met him or not, but Bob Cornwell and the guys over at Placentia Super Service. We look out for each other. We're all involved in ASCCA. We're all doing, you know, involved in the 20 groups, doing what we want to do to be that change, to be those guys at the front.
Did you hear what he just said? I'm speaking to my listener now. Travis, probably the most important part of this entire episode is, hey, we're working together. Co-opetition. Yes, we're all competitors, but we respect each other. We're in groups together. We share information. And there's no secret sauce that we cannot be worried about trading amongst each other because we all run our businesses slightly differently. But yet, we're all successful in our own right. And you've learned from each other. I'm telling you, it's huge. It's to me... We need to go there further, farther, and faster than we ever have and let people, you know, take their guard down a little bit and say, hey, Bob, it's Travis. Let's go have coffee and just let the relationship start to build.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's great. And I see these guys at ASCCA meetings. You know, that's another thing. They're active in ASCCA. We're charging what we need to charge because I know they're like, even though we've never really talked about it, I know they're charging what they need to charge.
And you shouldn't talk about labor rates and all that stuff. That's just basically, I believe, somehow against the Federal Trade Commission. But how is it that everybody knows what everybody's labor rates are? You just pick up the phone and call, right?
Yeah, but we're doing what we need to do. We're all involved. So Yorba Linda Auto Service, we're involved with ATI. Then I know Tatsu's involved with WorldPAC. And actually, I think Bob and Placentia Super Service is involved with ATI. So we're all involved with coaching. We all, you know, we're charging the right things, doing the right things. We're offering the same kind of amenities. It might not always be easy, but there's a reason why we consider us three on the same level.
I hear the word professionalism coming out. I hear the word, you know, the perception of professionalism coming out. As a young man in the business, being exposed to the people that you are, the guidance that you're going to have and get is insurmountable. It's exciting to know that. You know my friend Malin Newton?
Oh, yeah. Malin is awesome. I love Malin.
I love to hear that. I dropped the Malin thing and you said, awesome. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Have you been to a bunch of his training, I bet?
Oh yeah. There are some years that I was at every single in-person training of his. One of his favorite things he did was the service advisor roundtable. But, you know, everything that Malin does, he brings an energy and a perspective to it that I really like. I really enjoy listening to and I can really relate to. Because obviously, not every trainer works for everyone.
I love listening to Malin. I think he's got one hell of a great delivery. So no official succession plan with the family, but is that something that your dad keeps saying, hey, we've got to come up with a 3, 4, or 5 year plan?
Kind of. So really I've been here for 6.5 years now. And initially when I started then, or when my brother started, because I started about 7 months before him. But then we kind of had like the 3 to 5 year plan. It wasn't very specific, even though it should have been, but the 3 to 5 year plan was buy a building. That hasn't quite happened yet. still the goal, but you know, because we want, I think that's the, you buy a building, you buy land, and then regardless of what you do with it, which obviously we want to do automotive repair, but that's kind of like you get that and then you're say, I don't want to say safe, but you're comfortable. We haven't talked too much about the succession plan. I know we need to. I know we, you kind of, you told me that, and I do know that we need to when we spoke about a month ago. With my dad being 61.
He's still a very young man, but I'm sure he realizes as he watches you and Tim blossom in front of him and lead, there'll probably be a point in time where he'll say, you know what? So that me and mama can enjoy some freedom, although he's leaving at 2 o'clock, which is great. I'm happy for him. It behooves you guys, I mean, to keep your energy flowing. And, you know, I love the word you just said, goal. Excellent that we've got a goal for the building. And those are great goals to set. So I just wish this incredible family business all kinds of great success. What motivates you to get up each and every day, get to work?
Part of it is my family. And I don't want this to sound like it's not like I'm a linchpin and everything is going to fall apart. But with me, I have control issues. And so if I'm not here, I can't control it.
What do you mean? Are you stubborn?
Or I'm like a co-owner, future, like full-time shop owner. So isn't that a requirement?
You're a comedian too.
I try, you know, but that's why we're called independent garage owners. As recently in ASCCA, we were trying to come to a consensus on something. And eventually we realized that unless only one person is making a decision, because we're all stubborn and opinionated, we're not going to come to a decision.
That's right. There's 250,000 different ideas on how to do something out there because we're independent.
Exactly. Being here, being able to know that I'm helping my family, that I'm working towards that goal, knowing that I'm allowing my technicians to have work to support themselves and their family. I mean, that's, you know, we're very fortunate. I was telling people throughout last year, we're very fortunate because we kept people employed. You know, they kept working, they kept a paycheck, they kept things going. But also I get up and I come in every day for my customers because they're relying on us and they trust us. They put their trust in us for a reason. I don't want to lose that. I want to make sure they're taken care of. It doesn't matter if we're a 4-star hotel, if we're a 4-star on Yelp Automotive Repair Center, or even a 1-star. You know, I control what I control. I'm not a technician. I don't have a technician background. I was a journalist before I started working here. So I can't control how the cars are done. I can control the people that we put back there, but I can't control how the cars are done. But what I can control is the customer service.
Wow, did I have fun talking to you, Travis. Thank you so much for being here. I wish all the greatest success in the world to you and your family. I don't know if anybody heard that, but I think Travis said the word family 20 times during our interview. It's very, very important to him, and it is so great to hear. Thanks so much, Travis. Travis Guy, Yorba Linda Auto Service, Placentia, California.
Oh, thanks for having me, Carmen. It was awesome. I had a great time.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.